Monday, 16 November 15, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for tuning into the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church in New Bern, North Carolina. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We're continuing our series of messages on meeting the man, that is, these Bible people who met the Lord Jesus Christ, met the angel of the Lord, met the messenger of the Lord, and God would give them direction, God would give them safety. And the principle is that we need the presence of the Lord. You can have all the methods you want, and sometimes there's some pretty good methods. And you can have the material, and sometimes it's pretty good material. But nothing or nor anyone takes the place of the presence of the Lord. Father, do bless us now with thy word. Speak to my heart, the hearts of all of our listeners. In Jesus' name, amen. In our last few broadcasts, we were looking at lessons that Peter had learned as he was called to go and witness to Cornelius and his household. And of course, they were Gentiles. In Acts chapter 9, we saw Saul of Tarsus meeting the man. He met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. And when we speak about meeting the man, for those of you who may be just joining in this series, we're not speaking disrespectfully of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ is very God of very God, and yet he is the incarnate Son of God. And he came to die for us and to save us. But he also lives to intercede on our behalf. Well, today we're going to see that Paul meets the man now. He meets the messenger of the Lord. He's not known as Saul anymore, the great one. He is now Paul, the little one. And we find in this scripture a tremendous truth. We not only need the Lord to be saved. Dear friend, we need the Lord to survive. We need the Lord to serve. We need him to sustain us. He is to be our all in all. So this time it is not Saul that we saw meeting the Lord Jesus on Damascus Road. Oh, the same body, yes, but a new man now. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Well, Paul has been faithful to the Lord. He has preached the word of God. He has been falsely accused. He has been arrested. And now he has had to appeal to Caesar, and he is on his way to Rome. That's where we pick up our text in Acts chapter 27. He's with a number of other people. There will be 275 other people with him on the boat that is caught in the storm. There is a centurion by the name of Julius, and he is a very compassionate man. We'll find that in the life of Paul as well. We'll find also in this text that the lives of all the prisoners were saved just so that Paul himself could be saved. What a testimony that is, and the applications that can be applied there. But let's go ahead and start our text. We're going to just break into our text in Acts chapter 27. Of course, it's the whole chapter, verses 1 through 44. But let's just read verses 9 through 11 today, or at the beginning of this broadcast, because we're going to be looking at almost every verse in this chapter in this series. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Father, do bless us now, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, in Acts chapter 27 and verse 23, we read, after they were caught in that storm, Paul testifies, For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, And when that angel of God stood by Paul that night and gave him the message that he gave him, the storm was still raging, but all the peace that came into his heart and the joy that came into his heart and in the hearts of all who were aboard as well. Now, they wouldn't believe Paul when he first of all warned them about this danger, but I'll tell you, they take his word now, for they have had time with this dear man of God, and they knew that he was indeed God's man. When the angel of the Lord stood by him in verse 23 of chapter 27, the angel gave him this message, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Isn't that a marvelous promise? "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee." Now, it's interesting to me that Paul is now on his final earthly journey. He's going to Rome to appear before Caesar. As we said, he's on a ship that contains 276 people. Some are prisoners who are under the authority of a centurion by the name of Julius. They were not making much progress because of the light winds. And remember this, the time for sailing, that is safe sailing, had already passed. Well, they finally make port at a place called the Fair Havens, and although this was a safe port from the winter storms, the crew didn't like it, and the passengers didn't like it, simply because, that is, other than Paul, they didn't like it because it was not commodious, they said, to winter in. I think we would probably say today they didn't have the 5-star restaurants and they didn't have the nightlife that this crew and these people would like to have if they had to lay over for the winter. Now, you can certainly understand people wanting comfort, but when you substitute safety for comfort, you better be careful. There was another port on down the island, and it was called Phoenice, and so they evidently took a survey, they took a poll, and they decided that if they could find a favorable wind, they would just sail on down to Phoenice, and they would winter down there. But Paul warns them that it's too late already in the season to be sailing and that it's going to be dangerous. And Acts chapter 27 and verse 10, "And said them to them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading of the ship, but also of our lives." Paul warned them of the danger. However, his warnings are ignored for several reasons. Number one, the master of the ship wanted to sail on. And I understand that, humanly speaking, you would believe the master of a ship before you would believe some prisoner. They didn't know who Paul was at this time, so they would believe the master of the ship. But the master of the ship can make wrong decisions. We know that from the master of the ship Titanic, do we not? But the master of the ship wanted to sail. And there was another reason. As we said, the haven was not commodious. It was not comfortable to winter in. Didn't have probably the food and the hotels and the nightlife that they would like to have. And I find this to be interesting also, that they evidently took a poll that showed that the majority, advised to depart. Well, you say, is that in the scriptures? Yes, sir, that's in the scriptures. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because, verse 12, because the haven was not commodious to winter in, and the more part advised to depart thence also. So they took a poll, and most of them said, let's go on. We don't have any problem with this. We can get down to Phoenicia, and boy, we'll have a great winter, and we'll enjoy ourselves before we go on to Rome. Little did they realize what lay ahead. And dear friend, little do we realize many times what lies ahead. And God help us not to turn our back on the Word of God and not to turn our back on safety and place convenience and comfort above safety and the will of God. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this, thy precious word. Lord, there's so many great spiritual truths, so many great practical truths for us to learn in this scripture. Please, may the Holy Spirit, whose ministry it is to teach us and to guide us into all truth, may he teach us from thy precious word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May our Lord bless you. Been good to be with you for another broadcast. We're in Acts chapter 27. Let me encourage you to be reading through this chapter and join us for each broadcast if you can.